It is August 4th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you continue to be with your people across this land, that they humble themselves, that they turn their hearts and their minds back to you, that they realize that it's not about themselves, but it's about you and your kingdom. We pray, Father, that people draw closer to you, and we as a remnant continue to cry out, and we ask for more wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding, more power and authority over the forces of hell and the spiritual forces of wickedness that attack your people. We pray, Father, that you deal with those who war against your people, that want your name blotted out and to be remembered no more. We pray, Father, those that dig a pit for us, that they become the ones that fall into it. Those that set the snare for your people, we pray, Father, that they become the ones that are entangled in it. We pray, Father, that you deliver your people from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, and all the demonic forces of hell. We pray, Father, that you raise up your remnant once again. We pray, Father, and ask for those blessings that come from your throne. And we pray, Father, that our cups overflow with blessings that you grant us. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, it was a busy week this week, but and I know that Brother Wade, he's joining us out there, and we did get his mother buried this week, and so that was a success, and prayers were definitely heard for traveling mercies, for strength, for encouragement. So I do want to thank all of those of you out there that did continue to keep Wade and his family lifted up in prayer. People have been calling in saying that they received the Dragon Slayer newsletter, so appreciate that and continue to do so. Let us know when you receive it. It seems like it's getting there quicker, so that is a good sign. We're trying to get it to people. I know we had a couple people that did not receive Volume 7, so we had to resend those out. So if you don't receive Volume 8, just let us know, and we'll make sure and get one in the mail to you. But the more that more feedback we get from you, it sure helps us out a lot. So do appreciate that. We're going to go ahead and have a song, and I think it ties in with Pastor Peter's message. The message that we just had was entitled "A Fuller Understanding of Salvation, Redemption, and Purification." Fantastic message. But we'll go ahead and have "Revive Us" again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Amen. And I think we're going to have one more song. Daughter of Zion, before we have Brother Zach, he's got a message on the two systems, and it's a good one. So stay tuned for that, but we'll have Daughter of Zion. This is one of my favorite songs.
Daughter of Zion, rise up, daughter of Zion, distant rumble and their joyous battle cry. They are slowly drawing closer. Very soon the snakes will die. Our king is coming home. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. New Jerusalem now behold. The remnant here on earth, we have heard their battle call. We are sharpening up our weapons to be ready for the brawl. We have donned our holy armor and we're standing firm and tall. Our king is coming home. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. New Jerusalem now behold. The mountains are now shaking, driving snakes out of their holes. Babylon is falling down. Your prayers on them unfold. Our king is coming home. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. New Jerusalem now behold. The battle is raging on the left and on the right. Middle hurling fire with awesome might. Satan has been conquered and his army lost a fight. Hallelujah, our king is home. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. Rise up, daughter of Zion. New Jerusalem now behold.
And greetings to the once lost and now found peace of the House of Israel. Today, this day, August 4th, 2024, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome you all out there here this morning. We're glad you're able to join us. And we're going to start with defining who, what Jesus Christ is. And that is found in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is, what he stands for, how he thinks. He is the Word that became flesh. And that's what we do here at Scriptures for America. We try to shine the light on the Word. We try to project it out accurately the best that we can to give the most accurate description of who Jesus is to the best of our ability. And personally, I believe with Pastor Peters, Jack Moore, and all those other guys, that there is no other group of guys that was able to project Jesus Christ's word better than him. A lot of great historians in there. A lot of very intelligent people put. A lot of intelligent people that put material together in the past to give us our education of the word. And the word, by their words, the word says that they are correct. So the only way to know that is to know the word yourself. So one of the things, I'm starting a little bit of a two-part deal here. And the world that we live in today is, we as Christians, we understand the Babylonian system. We understand that God's word is actually his system, and the Babylonian system is Satan's system. But we here as Christians were forced to exist in the Babylonian system. And the reason why the Babylonian system is here is because of disobedience to the word of God. Both systems allow people to live and thrive. And both systems are, I always refer to it as God put us in a box. Work inside the box and you'll be all right. But it is true that we live in both systems, and we have to navigate these systems, and we have to navigate it in a godly way. So, you know, in the next sermon, I'm going to get into it more deeply, but I just wanted to point out, I'm going to give a couple of stories about a man existing in two systems, got himself in a pinch, and had to point out that he was a dual citizen, I guess is about the best way to put it. I don't know how else to say it. And the story I would like to read starts out in Acts chapter 22, and it's about Paul. And he's in front of some Nazarenes, and they are getting ready to dice him up and inflict punishment on him. And we're going to look at how he navigates and gets himself out of this punishment. So he's in a pinch right now. And if you want to read how he got into it, read chapters 20 and 21, and it'll lead up to it. But he's in a heated moment. It's a go time. You know, you know, it's a moment of pressure. You got to think on your feet. You got to act. And, you know, because Paul knew both systems, actually there's three systems that he's dealing with. He's dealing with Pharisees. He's dealing with the Roman system. And he's trying to conduct himself in the system that God put him in through baptism. So there's three things that he's dealing with and conducting himself, he's operating in, that he's got to operate in a godly manner, which is pretty cool. So let's start out in verse 1 in chapter 22. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you. And when they heard what he was addressing them, in Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia and brought up in the city, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you are today. So what does he say? So Paul is making a claim as him being a Jew. And in this time, what a Jew was could only, and according to biblical definition, a Jew could only be an individual from the from the tribe, of Benjamin or Judah. They were known as the two southern tribes. They were known as the two southern tribes that had not received the writ of divorce. And there was a sect of them that were allowed to come back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And he is an offspring of that sect. That is how a person can be an Israelite and a Jew. They have to be from either one of those tribes, and they have to be a descendant from that group of people that was allowed back into Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity that Nehemiah or Ezra led back into Jerusalem. That is the only way they could be an Israelite and a Jew. Really, the way the word Jew is used in the Gospels and here is a person from Judea, the land of Judea. So, and, I mean, it's kind of one of those crazy words. It's like the word two. You have two, T-O, two, T-W-O, and two, T-O-O. And they all have different meanings, and they all have different ways that they're used. And you just got to be fluent in the culture and in the language to understand why it's used in a certain way. And that's one of the things that the churches nowadays haven't actually defined. And that's why it's a big mess, you know. So if you want to know about what I just said about Ezra and Nehemiah, you got to go back and read those books. And then you'll know, because Paul says in, forget what book it is, it's later on, he's from the tribe of Benjamin. Then you'll know, you'll know what I'm telling you is correct, because it's the word. That's what it says in the word. That's how I came up with that conclusion of why he could say what he is. And he's a Jew. All right, let's continue. So he was saying that he was just as zealous as they were, and he followed all the rules. He's trained. He understands their culture. This is very important. You got to understand the culture they're in. So he's in a Jewish religious zealot culture. He was born and raised into it. He understood what was going on between their ears. And you need to pay attention to that, because it's very important that you understand what's going on between people's ears before you start running your mouth and all this other stuff about being a witness and this and that. You got to know where they're coming from. If you're dealing with somebody that doesn't know anything with the Bible, man, you got good, you know, you got good soil. If you come to somebody that's been in a Judeo-Christian church, you got a bunch of mind, you have a bunch of thinking you have to overcome. It's very important to understand that. Most people don't understand that. Most people like to throw one-liners out there and think they're going to change their complete psyche. Not going to happen. It took me 4 years to accept a lot of the truth that I talked to you about. I had to go through it over and over. I had to rip a lot of my mental foundation out in order to even believe this stuff. So, because I finally just recognized I was taught wrong. And once I accepted it, then it was hard. And then it became a lot easier. And then when I was introduced to Pastor Peters, I mean, that's like jumping into the ring with Mike Tyson. But that's neither here nor there. I persecuted this way. When he says that, this way, it's spelled with a W, a capitalized W, and that's like the root of Christianity. He's saying I persecuted them to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, and also the high priest and all the council of the elders, and testify. So he's saying, you guys know me, you know who I am, and you know how I used to roll. So I'm no stranger. He's saying, you know how I am, and you know I was the biggest, baddest, meanest cat in the business. You know, I remember Stephen. Remember, you know, he watched Stephen. He held her close. He said, get him. But it happened that I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime. A very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. So Jesus came to him and kind of decided to show him who's boss. And when Jesus shows up and decides to show you who's boss, you better pay attention. So Paul understood, oops, I might have something wrong here. Maybe he was the Christ. Maybe he was the Messiah. Maybe he was the one, because maybe he was the one that was supposed to release Israel. Because here's the thing. When you start understanding marriage laws and this and that of Israel, Paul recognized when it was Jesus that he released Israel. And you know this is true by his writings in Romans about when a man is attached or when a woman is divorced and she's attached to another man, after the husband dies, she's released from the law. He understands that stuff. Oops. Maybe this guy was the guy that did the releasing. That's what he's thinking. This is a cornerstone of our foundation of our beliefs at this ministry. And here he's talking about when he was learning that lesson. Like Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I answered, who are you? And he said to me, I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go on into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that happened, you will be told all that has been appointed for you to do. So he's going to go there, and he's telling them, I was told to go there to do this, and I was going to receive my mission statement. Okay? We have a mission statement. It's to go into the whole world, spread the gospel, the true history, the true word, as defined in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, and in verse 14. That's the mission statement, okay? Paul is a very, very well-versed man in the Old Testament, So not a lot of training goes on. You just got to get the players different, the way I see it. Now, I could be wrong, but. Now, if you're an Edomite, you're just host. I mean, you're just, like, some of them Jews, they're just Edomite. Like, I don't really consider the word Jew as a type of race of person. They could be from Esau, and it just doesn't matter. No matter what they do, they are accursed. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came to into Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devoted by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that time I looked up at him and he said, the God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and see the righteous one and hear the utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So there you go. For those of you right there, just say, be baptized, washing away your sins. So don't tell me baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. You don't accept baptism. You're getting thrown in that grave. Water baptism. It washes away the sins. You get that seal put on you. And this guy here, this well versed lawman, this well versed man of the scriptures, orders Saul at this time, which is later Paul, to do that exact thing, just as we do here at this ministry. Same thing. Take your first step in the mission. Verse 17, and it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. So he goes back where he's very well known, and God told him to get out of there because they're not going to accept his words. It's like Jesus said, you know, a prophet has no respect or honor in his hometown, and you can see that here. So I'd like to point out, he is talking to a religious sect, and he's talking to them in terms of which they understand, proving this point of why he is the way he is and who his king and leader is, which is Jesus Christ. So he's talking to them in terms that they understand, because he understands their culture. All right? And I said, Lord, they themselves understand that in the synagogues after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. But when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was being shed, there you go, there's Stephen. I wasn't even... Honestly, when I was looking for this chapter, I was looking for something completely different. And as I said earlier, Stephen, here it is. And when the blood of your witness, Stephen, was being shed, I was also standing by approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. So just like we said before, he understood that they knew him. He understood that he was well-respected. But what he did not understand, they were going to view him as a traitor. There's nothing worse than a traitor. There's nothing worse than, well, like I said last week, wasting everybody's time. So what do I mean by that? So he was promoting their view, their process, thought process. Now he's working against them. The way they look at it, he is a waste of time. He was a waste of energy. We shouldn't have even put any energy into him or thought and educated him. And that will build a hatred and a resentment towards somebody. So don't do it to God. Okay? There was a little review last week. But the same principle applies here with what Paul is saying, is he's engaging in this conversation with Jesus. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles isn't a racial term either. If you look it up in the Strong's, how it's defined, it's nations. That'll mean sick'em. And neither does the word Jew. That'll mean sick'em either. It has nothing to do with race. But what did God promise Abraham? That he would be a father of a multitude of nations, as it says in Genesis 17. That's a promise. So you could, Gentiles, you know, it's been defined in people's heads through, what is that one statement Hitler said? If you keep saying the lie over and over, sooner or later become the truth. Same thing. That's why these pulpit preachers, I mean, they are going to be so screwed. So screwed. You know, I remember I sat there and I was talking with the preacher. And I was pointing this stuff out to him, and he says, it doesn't even matter. Like, what? This is a big deal. You know? This is God giving Israel and the world his political system. And he's getting paid to promote otherwise. Anyway, sorry. They listened to him up to this statement. And then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. So why would they make this statement? Because they understood the writ of divorce. That's why. When he got to this point, they were all ears. When they got to a point of disagreeing, they're ready to throw down. And it's easy to throw down on one individual when everybody else agrees with you, besides that one guy. It takes a man to stand there and be like, negative. This is where I stand, despite what you cats are going to do. And they were crying out and throwing off their cloaks and tossing dust into the air. So they were throwing a temper tantrum. Big old temper tantrum. So we see Paul here operating in their system, communicating with them in a way and in a language that they understand. Now, granted, some of them are probably Israelites and some of them are probably Edomites. But they are of one mind. What does Pastor Peters call us? A twice-over son of hell? That's what he's dealing with. And the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and stated that he should be examined by scourging so that he might find out the reason why they were shouting against him. But they stretched him out with thongs, and Paul said to the centurion, who is standing by, this is why it's great. He asked him a question. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned? So now he throws the third citizenship or the third jurisdiction or the third political system card out there. This is why it's good to be educated. He knew the rules of the Pharisees in the Sadducees, and he also knew the rules of the Romans, because not only was he a quote-unquote Jew from the tribe of Benjamin, he was also a Roman citizen. And he's a baptized believer. So he's got three titles that he's carrying, three aces up his sleeve, so to speak. Well, I would say the guys that want to kill him. I mean, that's not an ace up his sleeve, but he knows their thoughts and he knows their thought process. So he throws that card out there. It's jurisdiction. Now, there's nothing more Babylonianized than the Roman system. Let's think about the Roman system. It's like our system today. Our system has been bastardized a few weeks ago. When we were talking about the 4th of July and public law 97-280, I mean, in reality, all that stuff has been set aside. Nobody pays attention to it anymore. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the foundation of this country, and it's all been Romanized, Babylonianized, one-world government-ized. You can have any religion that you want. You can have any god that you want to make you think that you're going to go wherever and being reincarnated into this or whatever. You can't have God's political system. So he throws the Roman card out there. If that's not a more Babylonian card to throw, I don't know what is. When the centurion heard this, he went to the commander and told him, saying, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman. See, he wasn't convicted of anything. They were just going to beat the snot out of him. They were going to treat him as an alien. Why? Because probably they had the story that he said he was a Jew, that he spoke Hebrew. He ain't from these parts, but in reality he was. The commander answered, I acquired this citizenship with a large sum of money. And Paul said, but I was actually born a citizen. So he was born a citizen. The reason why he's a Jew is because of his heritage from the return of the fraction of the house of Judah allowed back into Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. That's why he was, quote unquote, called a Jew. And he's saying, I was born one. So what is he saying? He said, I got more, you know, you bought yours. He's like, I'm a natural. I'm a natural Roman citizen. Therefore, whose were those who were about to examine him immediately let go of him, and the commander was, or and the commander also was afraid when he found out that he was a Roman because he had put him into chains. So why would this commander be upset? Because he recognized he broke the rules of the system and that there was going to be punishment dealt out for breaking the rules, and he was going to be the target. That is why he did what he did. So just because of Paul, who he is, you know, he's very highly educated in the biblical law, which all these, he's very highly educated in the way, which is Christianity now, and he's very highly educated in Roman law too. And he understands the fact of his dual citizenship here on earth. He's got a lot of advantages. And there's a lot of disadvantages because Babylonian system has a tendency to take away from God's system. It does. But we as Christians, we're playing in the same type of scenario. Whether we realize it or not, we are. But on the next day, wishing to know for certain why he had been accused by the Jews, he released him and ordered the chief priests and all the council to assemble and brought Paul down and set him before them. So I'm going to stop right there because we're going to have a talk. We're going to get to the bottom of this. And, you know, you can read the rest of this story, but I'm sure I don't remember this story right off the top of my head, but I'm sure they were whining and crying, as they always do, as they always did. Why? Because why would they get so mad at this way, at this Christianity? Why were they so mad at Jesus? Well, for one, mainly, I think it takes away their income. That's what I think. It threatens their job. It threatens their livelihood. It threatens their power. It threatens their status. You know, they're in bed with the Roman system. They got, you know, would, I'll have to look it up. But when Jesus was empty, when Jesus' tomb was empty, the Jews came to the soldiers and they gave him money, and they were going to use their political influence against the Roman government to make sure that they weren't punished. And they told them to say that the disciples stole Jesus. So they were using a political influence in order to get their way, to get the stories and the rumors of things that were not true spread out. So to sit here when we read these stories, which the Judeo-Christian churches have you make and believe God's trying to get you into heaven, this is New Testament stuff, and this is a political excuse me, situation that Paul's in. It's no different today. But these churches will have you believe that Jesus is only in the business of getting you to heaven, that way you can live happily ever after. And it's just not true. We have to do well for the generations to come. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. This is Jesus speaking. This is the man speaking. This is the word that became flesh speaking. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. The translations say, be wise as serpents. Paul, here in this story we just read, showed the level of wisdom and knowledge that was going on in his head. And he navigated the situation perfectly. He used all three systems to his advantage. He used his citizenship to his advantage. But beware of men, for they will hand you over to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. Oh my gosh, what did we just read? What did we just read? Men aren't going to like it when you disrupt the system that they're in. Because they're so reliant on it. But Jesus says, be smart, be wise, you know. And I'm going to add, which I don't generally add, like, know it. Know it. Know the system. So, like, our system here in the United States today, if you think about it, I mean, everybody complains. Everybody complains about who's in the presidential office and, you know, whatever. I don't care. This country, you can still, if you decide to work and learn the game, you can become very wealthy. You just have to be able, you just have to learn and learn how to take risks and learn how to manage emotion with those risks, because that's a biggie. That's one of the ones I found. But I haven't done anything wrong because of the way I worked my business. You need to know it. Okay? And you will even be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about what you are to say, for it will be given to you in that hour what you are to say. How do you know what's to be given to you to say? You have to know your word. You have to understand how things operate. When you understand how things operate, when you understand, how do I want to put this? When you get it, it literally takes you 2 seconds to see if somebody, when you start talking about stuff, I mean like business stuff, you can tell if they know what's up and if they don't, literally in 2 seconds. Because of what comes out of their mouth. They don't know. They don't understand. And when they get done talking to you, they think that they've fooled you, but they haven't. Because your knowledge, that is why you will know what to say in this context that Jesus is speaking of. But we are to be wise as serpents. Know what you're playing with. Know what system you're in and understand it. Know how to use it to your advantage and stay away from the things that you ain't got no, that God wouldn't approve of. Honestly, I sit there and I watch
I played that song a while back, Rich Man North of Richmond. I think that guy's a joke. Blaming everybody else, and all these loser people out there are getting on board agreeing with that song. Now, I have it on my playlist because I happen to like the guitar work on it, the string work on it. But it's a terrible song, and it just reminds me not to be a loser, not to go along with that. But be wise as serpents. If you're ever in a jam, know what's up. For it is not you who speak, but it is the spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Why? Why is it the spirit of your Father that speaks in you? Because you know the Word. That is why. That's it. Because you know the Word. That's why it's so important to study to show yourself approved. You can tell a phony and a fraud and you can tell a Judeo-Christian in a fraction of a second by the way he talks. It's like the shiblet test that Pastor Peters had when they were going around whacking all those dudes. I think it was the tribe of Benjamin because of that rape. Say this word. Boom. They said it with an accent. Boom. Can't get, you just, you're done. You know? You will be hated by all because of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end. He will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in the city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. You will be hated because of my name. Why? I mean, why is this ministry so hated? When Pastor Peters was running the show, I mean, that guy jumped into, I mean, why was it so hated? Because that dude did not care. What do you say? Prophets have a big mouth. They just can't help but saying the truth. And he just did. And it put the light on him. I mean, that dude could hack it. There's no question. To be wise as serpents. Now, the next time I'm with you, I'm going to talk about some advice that goes on within our circles and how it's horrible advice. Because it's a complete, the advice that was given to like me and a lot of the guys that are my age by our parents on this ministry about how to navigate the world was so horrible. You couldn't have made life any more difficult for us to prosper. I'm going to leave it at that. So for those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Amen. Interesting concept, interesting words. Thank you, Brother Zach. We're in it. We gather at the end of this short hour to partake of communion. And, you know, usually we will read from 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to do this in remembrance of him. And especially verse 28, I wanted to mention first thing is it says, but a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And the thought of just what that is, many times it's, well, you know, where we've fallen short of the glory of God, and that it's not of our own works, but of what our Lord and Savior did at the cross that saves us. if you'd listened to Pastor's message this morning, you know, like he said, saves us from what? Certainly from our sins, but, you know, from our sins, from the hands of those that hate us, from the times that we're in. And was reading in 2 Timothy this morning, and I thought that this applied. Paul is writing to Timothy here, and in verse 11, he says, it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will all live with him. And that's a pretty basic understanding here, but in the Judeo-Christian church world, it's not. But it's one that we should make sure that we, as we examine ourselves and compare ourselves to the Word, that we are sure of this. It goes on and says, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Now that lets us know that there is some enduring that has to be done. I think of Romans 8:28 that says that God works things for good for those that love him. Yes, even trials, even pain, even loss, if we love him. And so as we examine ourselves and partaking of communion, we've passed our communion emblems out here. We hope you have as well. We have to remember these scriptures, that he does work all things for good for those that love him, that if we endure, we will reign with him. Now there, to me, is some motivation for enduring, not complaining about trials and tribulations, health problems or financial, whatever it may be. But seeing that, hey, as I'm learning to endure, it's moving us closer to being able to rule and reign with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Psalms 34:19, I mentioned it this morning, it says in Psalms 34:19, the righteous may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And how are we righteous? Only because of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ that he willingly gave for us. Back in 2 Timothy 2, if we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So as we examine ourselves, as we partake of communion, let us remember these scriptures that we are to endure, that it's not just for the flesh that we endure, but as his word says, if we endure, we reign with him. It is preparing us, readying us for what he has for us tomorrow. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you that you heard that, Lord, in the midst of this insane world that we live in, that, Lord, your word gives peace and it gives strength and it gives hope and it gives comfort. And you are that word, Lord, that became flesh and dwelt among us and dwells among us today in the Holy Spirit. Help us to read your word, to apply your word, Lord. Strengthen us when we fall short. Be with us as we go through the trials and the tribulations and the pains and the sorrows of the day. Strengthen us. Let us stand firm in the faith, always being able to give a defense for the gospel and sharing your good news with all that we can. Thank you, Lord, that you give these emblems to us. Lord, help us to abide the taking of these and abide in us. And we pray all this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And we partake.
Yeah. final days with faith in living water. Jesus is living water. And with our armor on, we labor long and sing his song of water. Pressing on till the dead and gone, God will have the final call and will wash us,
water, water,
wash us all with water. We rise and face this world's rat race through grace of living water. Jesus.